Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC, on WHTC.com, and on the WHTC app for your smartphone. Once again, here's your host, Gary Stevens.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Monday, March 25th. Once a month, we get an update on what is going on at the Gateway Mission, and we are joined by the Mission's Executive Director, Jay Remerspa, on the other side of our table. Jay, good morning. Hope all is well.
Hey, good morning. Good to see you.
Good to be, as I always like to say, good to be seen. Glad you're with us. If you have a question about what's going on at the Mission, Jay will be happy to answer it at 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. Jay, I got to mention this before we talk a little bit about the Mission. Of course, many of you know that Jay was an outstanding student-athlete at Zeeland High School and at the University of Michigan before an NFL career with Buffalo Bills and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I got to mention this because I've been watching some old NFL films.
Oh, boy.
Before you came to the Bills.
Okay.
When they first got their red helmets. They used, you know, they wear white now, but they, for their coach, Kay Stevenson, thought it would be easier to spot the receivers for the passer if they wore red helmets instead of white. So that's why they changed to red. And when you were at the Bills, it was a red helmet.
That's correct. Yep.
But I was thinking, you know, Paul Seymour, Michigan man, lineman, converted to a tight end with the Bills. Sounds like somebody else I know. Well, he was a quarterback, got converted to be a tight end over at Michigan. And I was thinking about, yeah, that's why.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm so thankful that we're still talking football here, Gary, because I was looking at this opportunity to come in and talk to your guests and your listening audience, and I was worried that you were going to bring up basketball. And I thought, you know what, my bracket is busted. It was from day
Everybody's
one.
Everybody's got busted.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're bringing up football because it's something I know a little bit about. But, yeah you know, I am aware that that was the story from Buffalo with the change of the helmet and the colors and that kind of stuff. And
but I'm glad they went back to white. Yeah. Now they have to get the old red bison back on a regular basis like the original Bills had.
Yeah. And, you know, this is all – money drives all these decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Because they changed the uniforms, they changed the helmets, they changed the color schemes, all so that they can sell new product the next year, you know? And I'm kind of a traditionalist. I'm kind of loyal to kind of the old school and that type of thing. And so I really appreciate those red helmets and like them a lot.
The days of Jim Kelly, the outstanding Buffalo quarterback. But before that, a guy that played for the Lions at the end of his career. But before that, he was OJ's quarterback, Joe Ferguson.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, Jim Kelly, what a faith journey he's gone through. I don't know if you're familiar with
that. I am. And I don't know about the rest of our listeners. Jim Kelly, the fine quarterback, was with the USFL, then signed with Buffalo and thought, oh, you know, he got stuck with Buffalo because of the NFL draft. He, like a lot of athletes, bought into the community and became a part of the Buffalo community really throughout his life. But of course now, you know, with the battles that his family has been able to fight.
Yeah, and you know, he came to know the Lord through his son, Hunter, who lost his life with Krabbe's disease, I believe it's called. And he has a wonderful testimony because he, you know, he was just kind of living the life and thought it was all about him and that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, Hunter comes along and he said, you know, because God sent his one and only son, he goes, I had my only son and who ultimately led me to the true one and only son. Mm-hmm. And so he has a wonderful testimony. He and Jill are doing great work in Western New York, just sharing the love of Christ, sharing the gospel. And it was all because he went through this really dark place with his son that led him to finally surrender his life to Christ. And it's a wonderful testimony. And so that's the resurrection story, right? That's what we're going to celebrate this next week. I mean, that is exactly what we as Christians really go through life for and to tell that story to others.
All right. If you got a question for Jay Remerspa from the Gateway Mission, he'll be happy to answer it at 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. I don't have the copy in front of me, but it just came to me right now. We had a story, top of the hour, from CBS about the fact that participation in churches down big time. Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, most popular, Protestants, 2, Muslims, 3, Catholics, 4. A lot of times, Easter Sunday, which is this Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, I should say, is one of the times of the year people will go to church.
Absolutely. And we want to welcome that, right? As mm-hmm. as we see the culture continue to decline, you know, secularism kind of taking over every facet of life, it seems like, we want to point people to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, because that's where you have joy and hope. That's where you find fulfillment in life. And so I am so thankful that my pastor's wife, when I was at Vacation Bible School, shared that story to me, and I accepted Christ at the tender age of 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bible teaches us that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so in my current role, where we see trauma, dysfunction, just really dark, dark things each and every day, it is so encouraging to be able to share that joy and that hope for eternal life with individuals that don't have hope. And we have that hope as Christians, and we have an obligation as ambassadors of Christ to share that with others. And you're absolutely right. The Resurrection Sunday is a great opportunity for us as Christians to invite a friend. So if you have somebody that is out there that you know of that may be struggling or maybe going through something, there is no better place to be than on at a church, and I don't care where you're going, at a church on Resurrection Sunday.
For those of us who are believers, this is a little bit of a warning, or not a warning, but a sort of a thing like, hey, we got to do this, and that is take time out, stop everything if you can. On Friday, spend some time thinking about the sacrifice our Lord made. That's why it is a good Friday, because what he did was good for us. But we have to reflect of what he did on the cross. And to a certain, for example, many churches will have a Thursday night service where it's a service of remembrance or a service of a time of contemplation. I know my church, which is Celebration Bible in Jamestown, we're going to have that on Thursday night. Other churches will have the same. As believers, we got to think of that and get ourselves ready for Resurrection Sunday by taking some time on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the more maturity I gain as a Christian, the more I recognize my deep failings, the sin that I have. And so this time that we take as Christians to kind of reflect, look back on, understand the free gift that was given to the entire world, that gift is out there and available to anybody that calls on his name, believes in his son, and accepts by faith that salvation story. And so that's the encouraging thing for me as a believer, and I work in a Christian ministry that gets to proclaim and declare that good news each and every day. We have an opportunity and an obligation, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to be that shining light to somebody that is in a very dark place. And so, Good Friday, absolutely. Recognizing the sin that we all have when we entered this earth, it's important to recognize that, but also know that God provided a way to eternal life through his son, Jesus, who sacrificed all for each one of us. And that's exciting.
If you've got a question for Jay Reimersma of Gateway Mission, 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. One month from yesterday, the 24th of April, we will be at the Gateway Spoon, broadcasting this particular show live from 9 to 11:30. We are looking forward to enjoying some good food, some good fellowship, and being able to say hello to our listeners over at the Gateway Spoon on East 24th off of US 31 in Holland. We will have Investment advisors Kerry Cooley and Brent Godfrey. Kerry Cooley and Brent Kerwacker from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group join us, as well as Jason Latham of the Macatawa Area Coordinating Council. They'll be our guests, as well as some people from the Spoon. I don't know whether or not you'll be able to make it down. You'd be more than happy to join us, Jay. We are looking forward to that visit on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah, and I would just encourage all your listening audience, if you hadn't had the opportunity to have great, fresh, local, delicious food with a higher purpose. That's what the Spoon is all about. It's an opportunity for us at Gateway Mission. It's an extension of the critical work that we do by getting folks off the streets, give them practical vocational skills that allows them to enter the workforce to be productive members of society. We got great examples. We currently have 3 students that are working over at the Spoon, kind of line cooks, dishwashers, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to support something by enjoying a great meal, which we all enjoy, right? Gary, I don't know about you, but I like eating. And the Spoon has been a wonderful instrument for that outreach in our community, as well as giving our students an opportunity to get those practical vocational skills they need to be successful members of society. Cass, who is one of our students, single mom, she has been just flourishing out there in our Thrive program at the Spoon and our paid internship. She has 2 kids, her 8-year-old son, and they just recently moved into an apartment for the first time since he's been born. So this is an opportunity for our community to come alongside folks and have a great meal and give back without even knowing that you're giving back. It's a great opportunity for our guests.
Keep in mind, don't go today, don't go tomorrow. Spoon is not open Mondays and Tuesdays.
That's exactly right. Wednesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay, but again, we're looking forward to the 24th of April, a Wednesday morning, to do our show live from the Gateway Spoon over on East 24th and U.S. 31. And somebody who has been in the food business myself, we made this mistake when we ran the home plate over in Caledonia, is the fact that either you should be a dinner place or a breakfast lunch place. We tried to be both. The Spoon is only a breakfast lunch place. So keep that in mind. If you're looking for a place for dinner, you're going to have to find someplace else. Breakfast and lunch? Yeah, Gateway Spoon is A-OK.
Absolutely. We think it's a great place, and fresh, local, delicious food sourced here locally. You know, you got DeBoer's. You have Bowerman's that are supplying some of our goods. And so it's just a great opportunity for our guests to learn those skills that are necessary to be productive members of society, but then also providing a service for our community.
Let me add one more thing, and then there's a couple of things coming up that the Gateway Mission is involved with, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But I do want to mention this as we are in our first full week of spring. Our first full week of spring cleaning. And let's just say the garage sales season is beginning, which is fine if you wish to, put the effort in to, sell your own, what you don't want, fine. But it's also a good time when you do your spring cleaning, and if you're looking to try to move some of those items that are gently used that somebody else could probably use, bring them to the Gateway Mission store. Really, everybody wins in that regard.
Everybody wins in that regard. You get an opportunity to, make more room in your closet so you can buy more stuff and then come back and see us the following year. But yeah, it's a great opportunity for those gently used items to not only help somebody that may not have those items that are coming off the streets or living out in the woods, that we take in and make sure that those items are distributed to those deeply in need, but then also any of the excess that doesn't go to our guests and that kind of stuff, then we sell at the thrift store. And those monies are just reinvested then across our services. So you give a bag of you know, like a garbage bag full of clothes, that equals about $60 in value if it goes through our store, and that provides somebody one night of shelter in our shelters. And so we last year alone served over 140,000 meals and provided 100,000 nights of shelter. So it's a great way to give back. Again, a community service, a great opportunity to give back in our community and reinvest in the critical work that Gateway is doing each and every day.
The other thing I want to mention, and sometimes I bring it up with the Gateway mission, but sometimes I don't, is the fact that even though right now people are filing their income taxes, if they haven't filed them already and you got until the 15th, this is more something we might want to mention in November, December to get that tax credit. But if you got a vehicle or a boat or something that, you know, yeah, you could try to sell it yourself, but Gateway Mission, you donate it to them, they'll put it to use, either to resell it or it might be used as a tool to try to help in rehabilitation. It again, another win-win situation.
Absolutely. And we take those items and repurpose them, reuse, resell. And again, all of those monies then are reinvested in our community. And so it's not just helping Gateway Mission, and it's not just helping to pay Jay's salary or that type of thing. It is really giving back to those in need. And so sometimes, you know, in the homeless culture, you see somebody panhandling on the street, you're walking on the sidewalk, you kind of migrate over to the other side of the street. You see, and you're like, I don't know how to engage this individual. Well, this is a great way, an entry point of sorts for our community to engage that population that are desperately in need in a practical way with people that understand that culture and kind of come alongside. Number one, build a relationship with these folks, because relationship is what this is all about. And that's why we talked about earlier having a personal relationship with Jesus, because that gives us direction and guidance from our Heavenly Father. And we all crave relationship. And so many of these folks that come through our door have the poverty of relationship. They've had trauma in their past. They had horrible family experiences. And so we come alongside those folks, lift them up with a hand up, not a hand out, and get them back on to being productive members of society. It's a win-win for our community.
Jay, I know that we'll be probably talking before these events do occur between now and then, but I do want to bring them up for people to keep this in mind. First of all, the Gateway Mission is partnering with Tulip Time on a pickleball tournament.
Yeah, do you play pickleball, Gary?
I tried it once, and let's just say, if I was a younger man, yeah, no problem. Older man, problem.
Yeah, well, we're really excited to partner with Tulip Time, and this is a great opportunity for a community outreach and a way that it's kind of all the craze right now is this pickleball game. Now, you know, being an old football player, I don't move quite as good as I used to. You know, my lateral speed is non-existent, but I can get up there and hit a ball back and forth every once in a while. And so the Tulip City Open is a partnership between Tulip Time and Gateway Mission, and it's going to go from May 3 through 5. So that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's a pickleball tournament, and the proceeds will support not only Gateway Mission, but also Tulip Time. And so this is our first year in this. It's going to grow from here, but we partnered with MVP, you know, to have an indoor location, because everybody worries about having a big tournament being outdoor and that kind of stuff. But we're going to have this first year is going to be an indoor, but we're going to grow into that new Park Township pickleball courts the next couple of years. But we weren't sure if they were going to be built in time. So if you're into pickleball, it's a great opportunity. All levels will be covered. So I know, you know, you're a five, right? I mean, you're the top guy in your bracket and all this kind of stuff.
Before I had the rotator cuff surgery.
Yeah. But anyway, the Tulip City Open, May 3 through 5, Gateway Mission and Tulip Time collaborating together. And it's just going to be a great opportunity for people to support the mission in another way.
How can the people sign up?
You can go to our website and look under
Hope Found Here.
Yep, hopefoundhere.org.
Under
the events section, and it's clearly laid out right there, and you can sign up through our website and download all the information you need from there.
And it'll be at the MVP over on Waverly, right?
Correct.
Okay, yep. I just want to make sure.
Just this year, but you know, our hope is to have it expand and blow up to be kind of a Midwest regional tournament, which will bring in some amateurs as well as pro players and that kind of stuff. And we wanted to start small and grow it from here, but once those Park Township courts are built, we've already been in conversation with them, and we're going to secure those. But be on the lookout. Tulip City Open Pickleball Tournament. Bring your friends.
Now, an event that will happen nationwide on the second Saturday in May is something that happens everywhere but Holland, Michigan, on the second Saturday in May, and that is the postal
food drive,
and yes, the put the non-perishable items out for your postal carrier to pick up. But in area codes 49423, 49424, it will be on the 18th, and Gateway is going to be a part of it in terms of getting some of the goodies that will be collected up by our friends from the USPS.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this thing, we have been doing this with various partners in some way, shape, or form for over 25 years. It's an amazing outreach. And so we really make it really easy. And it comes at a critical time for us because typically you see an influx in donations in terms of food and that kind of stuff and perishable items kind of in the fall leading into the winter, but it kind of falls off in the spring. So this is a great opportunity for us to stock our pantry up because our needs don't go away. It doesn't matter what time of year, we're serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner to over 200 guests at our facilities. And so the Holland Postal Food Drive happens on May 18, and it's supporting Gateway Mission, Community Action House, the Salvation Army, and Resilience Women's Center. This event ties into the Hunger Awareness Weekend, which includes the food drive on May 18 and the crop walk on Sunday, May 19. We would really appreciate the community's support in this event as it helps fill our summertime needs with non-perishable goods. Plastic bags and postcards will be delivered to your mailbox May 13. So be on the lookout for that. If you get a plastic bag and you go, what is this for? Put some canned goods in there. Drop them off, and then we have a great relationship with the post office, and we sort right on site and get it to all of those important ministries supporting those in need in our community.
Keep in mind, though, this is only for zip codes 49423 and 49424. The Stamp Out Hunger Postal Food Drive everywhere else, and we want you to participate in everywhere else, will be on May 11th. So keep that in mind. May 11th, rest of our listening area, May 18th for Holland and on the north side.
And this is a really big deal. I didn't realize it. I just talked to our food service rep, Frank Wilson, who runs all of our food service for both our men and women's and children's shelter. And he said, typically, over the course of 25-plus years in this partnership with the Postal Service, we have brought in about 60,000 pounds of food through this drive. And COVID took it back quite a bit because people were concerned about COVID being transferred through the mail and all that stuff, that craziness that was going on. Last year, we did about 26,000 pounds of food, but we really want to ramp that effort up again because, again, our needs are growing in our community with this population.
If you have any questions about what's going on at Gateway Mission, I invite you to go online to hopefoundhere.org. That is hopefoundhere.org. Or call the mission at 616-396-2200. 616-396-2200. Jay Reimersma, as always, thank you very much for telling us what's going on at the Gateway Mission. Look forward to chatting with you next month.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Gary.
Thank you very much, Jay Reimersma. 99.7 1450 WHTC.